passages, and the first one is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Go ahead, Bob. Yes. Verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall test every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built upon it, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore, we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, if you'll turn back to Romans chapter 14 and verse 10. Romans chapter 14 and verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So, then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not, therefore, judge one another any more, but judge this. But judge this, rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. The Lord will be pleased this evening to bless his word because it is his never dying word. Christ and his court. Christ will review our lives in his court. And Paul describes for us those whose lives will be reviewed in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. In verse 9, he says, Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. This is the cause of this reviewing. This is the cause for the court, Christ's court. You see, Paul had been accepted by Christ because of redemption. And every one of us who are saved by the grace of God, we have been accepted in Christ because of the redeeming work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Apostle Paul says, now, that's in the past. Now I labor because I want to be accepted of Christ when the time comes for my life to be reviewed. And Paul makes it quite clear that there will only be Christians whose lives will be reviewed. But he leaves no doubt that no Christian will escape the court of the Lord. He leaves no doubt of the certainty of it. For in verse 10, he makes this statement. For we must all appear at the judgment seat of Christ. We must all appear. There is no doubt as to the fact that all of us will be there. Rich, poor, doesn't matter what color of our skin, we must all, A-double-L, That's the Word of God. So I think we need to nail that down, make sure that we understand that it doesn't matter what our position in the church may be. It doesn't matter whether we have any position or not in the church. As long as we're in the church, as long as we belong to the church, as long as we are a member of the church, the body of Jesus Christ, that's what this verse is saying. There is that certainty. The company, we believers. The certainty, we must. It leaves no doubt as to whether or not we have an option, whether or not we have any say. We must keep. We can break other appointments. We may have appointments in courts here, and people do it all the time. And judges write out warrants and send it out for those who have been charged to be picked up and brought back to court because they have broke their appointment with the court. But this one, you and I who are believers, there's absolutely no way that we can escape it. We must all appear. None of us will be exempt from this appearing. Only Christians, but all Christians. Only Christians, but all Christians. Christ will be doing the reviewing. Our Christ. Nothing for us to be afraid of. We ought not be afraid of the judgment seat of Christ. I believe there are some people, as they think of their lives that are wasted, and all of us look back on our lives and see areas that have been wasted. Even now, we know so much of our life is wasted. Yet there are some people, and I think the Bible makes it quite clear, they'll be saved as if by fire. Their motives and all that they do, their motives are wrong. And everything they do with an ulterior motive. Christ will be doing the reviewing. Now, we ought to be kept busy working for Christ, laboring for Him. But, you know, sometimes some people in the church don't get involved in the local church because they're afraid of other people judging them. You know why? Because every church has a group of people who are always judging other people. They're always condemning other people. They're always making fun of other people. They're always putting down other people. And they're always evaluating other people's work and other people's lives. And so there are those who don't work because they are too busy judging other people. And there are those who don't work because those who are too busy judging them to work for Christ, they are discouraging them. But you know, Christ expects us to be involved. That's what this is all about. Now that we've been saved, He expects all of us to be involved in some way. You notice the presentation is to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. It carries the idea of presenting yourself. In other words, the summons has already been handed out. And we must appear. When we have been given a summons, we must present ourselves. Somehow we can't say, well, I'll be judged in absence. I'll be condemned in absence. You know, when people become fugitives from justice and from law, sometimes the court goes ahead. And without their presence, they carry on the trial and they sentence them. In absence, they sentence them. They get the verdict wherever they're hiding in some other country. But here, we will be in person. I think that is quite clear. We will present ourselves. It's like the idea that comes through here from some other Bible scholars is that there are soldiers presenting themselves to their superior officer for his examination, for his inspection. That's how it is with those of us who are believers. Notice the place. It's a judgment seat. Now, in Paul's day, a judgment seat was usually an elevated platform. You've heard that description of it many, many times. You probably know more about that than I do. And a judge would sit on top of that platform, and the idea was to review and to reward. to review and to reward. I said the person who sits upon that will be Jesus Christ. He has the right to review. He has the right to reward. And so he will review our lives and he will reward us according to what we have done for him. Paul goes on, secondly, to describe the purpose of this reviewing. The purpose, he says, wherefore we labor in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. We shall be examined personally. We will be examined individually. It will be on the basis of what we have done, not what other people have done to us, not what other people have done for us, not what other people have filled in for us. Everyone, it says, will receive the deeds done in the body. According to what we have done in the body, we will receive that which we have done. And we will be examined personally. Brother Tom always uses this phrase when he's speaking to the unsaved. Every tub sits on its own bottom. But the Church of Jesus Christ has never gotten that straight. They have never. Somehow the church, all of us feel that we're responsible for everybody else. Now, we are our brother's keeper. There is a sense where we are our brother's keeper. Keeper, yes. But too very often, the saints who are involved in gossip and spreading bad about a person, that's not keeping. That's not building up. That's not helping a brother or a sister. That's not covering a multitude of sins which we have been called on to do. Not to cover up. But what does God's grace do with your sin and my sin? It covers it. In that sense. We don't go around exposing what we feel is everybody else's wrong. Because I suppose that we could pick everybody to pieces. Everybody. I could pick you, you could pick me, and if that's what the church is doing, we become just pickers. We're called on to be witnesses and to be worshipers and to be builders of the body of Jesus Christ, to build upon a foundation. It's easy to pull down, but it's very difficult building. I've been involved in building and I know how difficult it is. Others here have been involved in building. We know that people who wreck buildings and who tear down buildings, usually they come along and they don't care. They don't have to stop to make sure it's not mashed or to make sure that something is not broken. They break, they mash, they don't care, they just tear down. And they're jolly and happy as they go. But you see the man who's doing some finished work. You see the man who's doing some finished cement work. He's very careful how he does it, because he's building. And the man who's laying a foundation, he's careful how he lays the foundation. He's careful how he puts the steel together. I've been intrigued in coming up Shirley Street in Nassau and seeing the new financial center that's going up there at Parliament Street, where the old parking lot was. And so interesting to see the type of steel they're putting in the building. So very careful as they're building. It's going to be a parking garage and a financial center of the Bahamas where all the major financial institutions will be housed in one big building. And as a parking garage, you know, they have posts that hold up. It's not all solid walls. And it's amazing to see these 12 or 14-inch posts that they're building and the amount of steel. Are they so particular about putting it in there because they're building? So careful they are with building. And that's what God is saying. God's going to reward us for building. I don't believe anybody's going to be rewarded for tearing down, for destroying. I believe that in God's work, in the kingdom of heaven, I believe we're rewarded for building. And we're rewarded for building, as we will see in a couple of minutes, building with the right materials. We will be examined personally. We'll be examined publicly. Romans 14:12 says we'll be examined to give an account. And now that refers to a ledger being kept. Bookkeepers know what that is. God is someday going to open a book. And God is going to review my life. God is going to review my life. And you say, does God need to open a book? He certainly don't. God knows. He's the all-knowing God. So when I say he's going to open a book, it doesn't mean that I think that God needs to open a book. As far as him knowing, God already knows. He's going to review my life from the moment I accepted Jesus Christ until the time that I leave this world. That's the period. That is the period. And I'm responsible for that to God. He's going to review not only my life, but he's going to review my love. My love for him, which is reflected many times in my love and my labor and my sacrifice for other human beings, especially those of the household of faith. My love. Sometimes we think that our love is not important. But my love is very, very important. My devotion to Christ is very important. I was reading this evening when Elijah called Elisha. He was a busy man. But he said, I want to go back to my father and mother. Give me just a little time to go back and just bid them farewell. He loved them, but he loved his master most. God doesn't call us to forget those earthly ties. But what God says to us as servants of Christ, all of us who are servants of him, I believe that everything is here to serve us. And I believe now and again, I need to read these passages. I do, because I need to be brought face to face with reality. Every one of us need to read these passages. Because somehow we will forget that there is a judgment seat, that everything that we do now that we are believers is going to be recorded. Everything that is done in our Christian experience, we're going to give an account for. Romans 14:12 says this, we'll give account for the things done. Notice that. Not for the things not. For the things done, we're going to be rewarded. The things not done, we're going to lose reward. Now, I think it's important, the things that are not done. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 15 tells me that my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And when I come to be reviewed in Christ's court, it will include what I have done in this body. Now, that means more than what I have attempted to do. Number one, it will include not only my performance, not only my person, but it'll include my purity. The purity of my mind. God is concerned that my mind is kept pure. And there are all sorts of reading material out there that can cause our mind to be degenerate. There's all sorts of stuff on television that can cause my mind to be degenerate. You want to see a person who is rotten morally? It starts with the mind. Guarantee you, it'll start with the mind. Satan will captivate the mind. Satan will control the mind. And with the mind, once he has dirtied the mind, then he can affect their motives. It will include our purity. God expects us as his vessels that he's going to use. He expects those vessels to be pure. He expects holiness. And when we stand at the bema, we're going to be rewarded according to whether or not we have kept our bodies pure. And that will include what we have done in our bodies. Christ
is going to review our lives. And we could say a whole lot more about that. But secondly, Christ is going to review our loyalty. Christ will review our loyalty. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. This relates to our building the church. God is going to test the material. What type of material that I have used as I have built? What type of material I have used in building upon the foundation that is laid? Because the Bible says, other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. The foundation of our building is going to be tested. Now, some Christians build with permanent materials, while others build with materials that are perishable. Two types of material are listed here, beloved. And it doesn't mean that all the time, all of our life, we are building with permanent material. I'm sure all of us, if we are honest before the Lord, as we know the Lord has put it down in His ledger, we have to admit that there has been times when the material has not been that which is permanent. And if it is not permanent, it is perishable. And it lists the material. It says, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, that will be rewarded. That's permanent. Gold, silver, precious stones, if you build upon that type of foundation, that's what Jesus Christ is. Gold, silver, precious stones. That's the foundation that He's talking about. No man can build as far as God is concerned and be pleasing to God and be rewarded by God with any other material but that. That's what God builds with. That's what heaven is built with. That's what heaven is all about. And then He says, wood, hay, and stubble. He uses it. It's all in the same sentence. Wood, hay, and stubble. Then He says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall test every man's work of what sort it is. And so I'm concerned when I get to that, because I realize that I can build with gold and silver and precious stones, and that will be permanent, and I will be rewarded for that. When the fire sweeps over my life and sweeps over my work, that will remain. But everything else that I have built, that I have done with a fleshy motive, everything else I have done as I have lived in carnality, will be burned up. Smoke is all that I will see. Smoke. And I will not receive a reward for that which is perishable. It's going to be burned up. And so if it's burned up, God doesn't have it to give to me. God's going to give me that which remains. That which comes through the fire. That which stands the test of the fire. Beloved, I say to myself, and I say to all of us, go in for that which will stand the test. Go in for that which will stand the test. Use only that material that will stand the fire. He says these materials are precious. Silver, precious stones. They're precious. And you know something else about these materials? They are very present too. Because it involves the church. We are building upon Jesus Christ. Other foundation, as we've said, can no man lay. These materials are precious, and these materials are permanent. Fire will not destroy them. Now, some Christians will build with permanent, some will build with perishable. But notice also, in verse 12, these materials are plentiful. Wood, hay, and stubble is not precious. It is plentiful, though. And if a Christian is not careful, he can waste his whole life building with wood, hay, and stubble. This is why the Word of God teaches us that we must be directed by the Holy Spirit. We must be taught according to the truth of God's Word. And our lives must be directed according to the truth of God's Word. And if God's Word and the teaching of God's Word directs our steps and directs our path, then we will build with permanent material. A local church that builds with permanent material will be a solid local church. I fear that there are many local churches, and many of the members of those churches are not building with permanent material. They are not solid. A brother called me today from another place. And he was heartbroken as he related to me a sad story about that particular local church. What he felt was happening was going to happen. His heart was broken. And he said, "Brother, I just want you to pray. I just want you to pray. Because it's my feeling that the devil is getting the upper hand. It's because Christians are not building with permanent material. They are becoming very carnal. And they are letting the devil have his way instead of the Holy Spirit having his way. Wood, hay, and stubble. Perishable. Plenty of it. Plenty of it. If you go in for it, the devil will make sure it's plenty of it." And the devil is tricking Christians all the time. In Romans chapter 10, thirdly, I want us to see the fellowship of believers will be tested. The fellowship of believers will be tested. So when we go to Romans chapter 10, we read these words. Verse 10, "But why dost thou judge thy brother?" You see, he's dealing with judgment now. All through this is judgment. God is going to bring those of us who are believers to that final judgment. Or if you want to say it's a reviewing, but it is judging between good and bad. What is good in our lives? What is bad in our lives? And it involves the fellowship of other believers. The fellowship of believers will be tested. You see, I believe that there are times that we forget that God is concerned about the fellowship of saints. And if I set myself up as a judge of all the saints, in other words, he says here that we can set at naught our brother. Why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set at naught thy brother? I suppose if I was giving this little talk a title this evening, it would be "Setting at Naught My Brother." Setting at naught my brother. How do I do it? By taking God's place and judging my brother. And so he starts off by saying to the Roman church, "Why dost thou judge thy brother? Judge nothing before the time," the Word of God says. And if we judge here in this life, we are judging before the time. God has set a time. We're living in the day of grace. Now, there are certain acts that are recorded in the Scriptures where when it was committed, God's judgment fell upon human beings. The Bible says that God works, and he has not changed his workings, but God deems to use different methods today. And we were talking about the Lord's Supper the other evening. The Word of God says that because there were some who were not discerning the Lord's body, they were weak, and there were some who were sickly, and there were some who were not. That involves fellowship. It involves our fellowship, the fellowship of saints. We're all fellows in a ship. We're supposed to be caring for each other. That is my responsibility, to care for other people. We will stand together at the judgment seat of Christ. And so I read from verse 12 of Romans chapter 14, "So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." And I wrote in my own handwriting right next to that, "Not to other believers." So I read it like this. "So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God and not give an account to other believers." I don't have to give an account to other believers. Now, I am accountable in a local church to the leadership of that local church. I come under the umbrella of Almighty God as my Father and my Savior. And God has placed local men who are under shepherds in a local assembly, and every other member is responsible for their lives to those under shepherds. Those under shepherds are responsible to Almighty God. They will give an account of our lives because they are responsible. But I don't have to give an account to every other believer. Every other believer doesn't have to give an account to me. And every other believer doesn't have to give an account to every other person for every little thing they do, every little sin they commit. They don't. We should keep short accounts with God. And if we don't keep short accounts with God, the scripture says that God allows something to come in and removes us out of the scene, removes us out of the way. And then we will stand at the judgment seat of Christ and see our lives burned up, wood, hay, and stubble. So he says, we're not to assume the position of God and set at naught our brother by judging him. We must all answer for judging. That's what verse 10 is saying. We shall all stand before the judgment. Why dost thou judge thy brother? If you judge your brother, you'll stand before the judgment and you will answer for it. That's what it's saying to me. Lute and Neely, don't judge your brother. Because if you do, you're going to answer for it. You know, if I don't remind myself of that over and over, I'll find myself when I go down the road and I see my brother doing something, I will start judging him. Right away, I'll start judging. We must answer for judging. We will answer at the judgment. Look at the reason for the judgment. The saints who judge other saints, they're not being loyal to Christ and his church. When I judge other brothers and sisters, I am controlled not by the Spirit. Because that's not what the Spirit is saying here. The Spirit of God is witnessing this here in these verses. And when I judge my brother, I go contrary to this witness of the Spirit and the witness of the Word of God. I'm being controlled by pride. I'm being controlled by conceit. I'm refusing to concede to what God says and acknowledge that God is a better judge than I am and that I don't want my life, my whole life, when I come to the judgment seat, I don't want Isaiah sitting on that throne. I don't want John the Baptist sitting on that throne. I want the supreme potentate of this earth. The one who, when he was on this earth, there was no flaw found in his character. Perfectly sinless. That's who I want sitting up there. Who is perfectly honest. Judges can be bribed down here. They're human beings. John the Baptist, whoever he may be of the Old Testament saints, they are human beings. And they had their failures to reincarnate them and put them there as a judge. God can do anything, I know. But the point I'm making is that I want Jesus Christ, who is fair and he's a man who believes in equity. He's going to dish it out equal. I'm not going to get what I don't deserve, and I'm not going to get less than what I deserve. I'm not going to get what you deserve, and you're not going to get what I deserve. The reasoning for this judgment is found in verse 13. Let us not, therefore, judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I said, Lord, how many times I've judged somebody? How many times I have been critical? How many times, Lord, this servant of yours has done exactly that? I am so wrong. But I need to tell myself that every day. Every day. Because I tend to forget. I tend to forget. And the reason is this. Paul wanted to carry these saints into the future as they stood before the judgment seat of Christ. And Paul says, it's a sin to judge fellow Christians, fellow saints, and it breaks fellowship. And I'm sure we wouldn't want to do anything that would hurt another saint. We need to be loving towards other saints. Two things we must never forget. First, we must be loyal to our Savior, no matter what the cost. We must be loving towards other saints. I have to remind myself of that, because this Christianity is something that we have a set of rules and standards that come from God's Word. They become a part of our being as we digest God's Word. But we must be constantly reminded from that Word, the Lord said, as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death until he comes. It's a remembrance meeting. And every precept of God, every request of God, there must be a reminder, a constant reminder, that there will be a judgment seat of Christ. And he will review our lives. And he's not going to hurt us. He's going to give to us. He's not going to embarrass us. He's going to give to us that which comes through the fire. My relationship with other believers, that will be judged as well. My fellowship, so if I put at naught my brother and break fellowship, I'll be judged for that. My love will be judged. My loyalty will be judged. My life will be judged in totality. And I am going to receive. I have that guarantee that whatever I do for him with the right motive, once I build with the right material, the permanent material, it's sending it on ahead. And I'm going to meet it. Whatever you and I build with that's permanent, the gold, the silver, the precious stone, we'll meet it. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank thee this evening for thy word that reminds us that there is a God who is holy, harmless, and undefiled. There is a God who came into this earth becoming man. The Son of God who came to show forth your love, your holiness, your hatred for sin. And that same one who provided our salvation is one day going to reward us. Our Savior will reward us. Help us, our Father, to keep this in mind. Help us to remember our loyalty to him is so important. Help us to remember, too, that our love for the saints and love for other people and demonstrating that love also will be that which will